Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Good morning, Lee.
Hey there, Tara.
Well, apparently, my generation, Generation X, were bummed. Desolate, even. Huge new study on this. This is from UPI writing about this.
Right.
Many Gen Xers are desolate as they reach middle age. Their 30s and their 40s. So-called indicators of despair, according to this study. Depression, suicide, drug, and alcohol abuse are rising among those in their 30s and 40s, hitting near all-time highs. They're afraid we'll eventually hit all-time highs. This is fascinating. Despair runs rampant through Generation X as these Americans struggle through middle age. To me, middle age is like in your 50s, but I don't know, I guess now it's like 30s, whatever. So-called indicators of despair, depression, suicide, drug, and alcohol abuse are rising among those in their 30s and 40s. And it's occurring across the board, researchers say. Vanderbilt University Center for Medicine, Health, and Society did the study. For example, this is so interesting. Heavy drinking is really peaking again, almost to levels equivalent to where they were at college age. Previous studies have drawn attention to deaths of despair, but initially it appeared they were occurring mainly among poorly educated whites. This wider study found that, no, that is not the truth. These new findings indicate that despair is pervasive throughout Generation X, affecting people regardless of their race, background, or family income. Interesting.
So the rich are doing it too, huh?
Yeah. So money doesn't seem to fix this. Prosperity, I should say, doesn't seem to fix this. Mortality, particularly for middle-aged people, namely 45 to 54, has actually been increasing for the past couple decades, but it is declining among Generation X. They're saying mainly due to these indicators. So, I mean, this is some really depressed people. Now, the professor who did this and her colleagues tracked despair indicators among groups of people who were in, you know, grades 7 through 12 in 1994 through 1995, and they found that this is going on too. Okay. The investigators found suicidal thoughts, symptoms of depression, actual suicide, marijuana use, heavy drinking, all increased as these people aged into their late 30s. And that's one of the most difficult times of life. I mean, you're trying to get it in your head in your career. You're trying to keep up with your kids. You're trying to do everything right. And I maintain it is impossible to do all of that really, really well. If one thing goes well, something else suffers. It's just there's not enough time.
Even if things do go well, it's still very difficult.
Yes, extremely difficult to keep all those balls in the air. At one time, keep one of them from hitting the floor, which is really, I mean, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. That's sort of how I live. I don't even strive for greatness anymore. I try to keep the balls from hitting the floor.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? What? He was due tomorrow. Oh, my God. We got to start now.
Well, you're
that's my life.
And you're juggling with one hand and doing show prep with the other.
No, I literally am many days. I mean, there are many days a week I lock myself in the bathroom for 10 minutes just to try to figure out what's going on, you know?
Yeah.
But everybody goes through this. Everybody struggles. Anyway, they say in this stage of life, people are in the midst of very intense family, work, and social situations. You know, all of this stuff's going on. Okay. Now, here's what's interesting. So I was wondering, like, did this come out of the... Is this because, you know, started kind of with the Great Recession, which a lot of this kicked off? But no. They say that Generation X might be reflecting overall societal trends that have led Americans to feel hopeless and helpless. These include erosion of the middle class, declines in traditional family structures, and social cohesion. And they say that this has really been building over decades. And I thought, wow, how interesting is that? Because what other news did we just get this week? All-time high in people saying they don't believe in God?
I'm glad you're going there because that's exactly what the problem is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, life is pretty darn hard.
Yes.
Even when it's good, it's hard. And when it's bad, it's really hard. And if you go through life with absolutely no sense that any of this has any meaning whatsoever.
Or that there is anything beyond this and that there is
right.
a greater power involved.
Or that it's all for anything.
Then no wonder these folks are depressed.
And they try to fill it. They try to fill it with alcohol. They try to fill it with extramarital affairs. They try to fill it with all kinds of stuff. And that leads to the family eroding and all those other things.
Government cannot replace God.
Neither can alcohol.
Well, yeah.
Or marijuana. Or any relationship with another human being that you think will fulfill you.
Yeah.
It's just not there. It just doesn't.
And I don't know people who do not have faith how they get through life in some of the difficult circumstances.
You know what's interesting about that to me personally is that I was raised in an extremely religious home and was very much a believer until I hit my 20s. And then I wasn't. And I didn't don the door of a church for a very, very long time. And came back only because of a Doubting Thomas moment that I had that I think was something of a miracle, but I won't describe here because if I told you, you wouldn't believe it anyway. And, you know, for me to don the door of a church, even on Easter, my dad and I had to go three rounds just to get me there. You know, I don't believe this, Dad, whatever. But you know what's funny? Reading this, I know exactly how they feel because that's how I felt during that period. That is exactly how I felt. And you spend so much time trying to figure out what the meaning and purpose of your life is. And to have you latch on to the latest passing thing that might give your life some meaning, but nothing ever does.
And of course, those on the left will want to blame materialism, our capitalistic society, the repression of certain minority groups by establishments. But that's not at the core of it.
No, it's not. It's not at the core of it. It's this emptiness. Because, man, it's hard to struggle through life. And if the whole thing's meaningless, it'll just beat you down. It just absolutely beats you down. So I think that's what's missing here. Now, these geniuses at Vanderbilt have their own theories about what's causing this.
Well, it is in Tennessee.
Yeah. According to Dr. David Katz, director of the L. Griffin Prevention Research Center, the report of rising despair, risky behavior, all of this is because of the divisive political climate.
Oh, please. Oh, give me
xenophobia, the elevation of racism, divisive politics, the ever-widening disparities our culture propagates. Actually, that's not even going on, you moron. If any, all boats have been lifted. I mean, we're seeing folks at the lower end do better than they have in decades. So this is not that. And of course, he says, truly ominous implications of climate change.
Well, they had to get that in there.
You got to get that in there. It's
the
climate change.
Yeah, that's it. You know, let me go drown my sorrows in the rising seas because of climate change. Yeah.
But I don't know. Like I said, this just fascinated me because I've known how it was to feel that way, to feel that not like overwhelmingly empty to where you want to drink yourself into oblivion or anything like that. But that feeling of like sort of just emptiness around the edges.
Yeah.
I know what that feels like. Because that's how I was. And now I have, and by the way, you don't even have to, you know, be in your journey like, you know, where you're going to church religiously every week and you're a holy roller. Just a sense even that that there is something beyond you and that is what gives your life meaning and that you are part of all of that. It just brings so much peace to your life. And man, if you don't have that, you are lost.
Mm-hmm.
You're just really lost.
In more ways than one.
Yeah, in more ways than one. So for me, interesting, because I've lived both of these ways, and it makes a huge difference.
And I just think it's fascinating and typical here where you have the academics there at Vanderbilt trying to point to political solutions to a spiritual problem.
Yeah, and missing the big one, which is the decline in faith, because, you know, when you talk about it, it's not just faith. It's also church
but
and the community and go ahead.
I'm just going to say it's not just the decline of it. It's the attack on spirituality.
Yes.
And the attack more specifically on Christian spirituality, because we go out of our way to accommodate those of other faiths in this country because we try to protect minorities, whether they're racial, whether it's sexual orientation, whether it's whatever. Minorities are protected in this country. We have a representative republic that goes out of its way to protect minorities to make sure that their constitutional rights are not tread upon. But you know, what we're looking at here, though, is an institutional cultural attack on Christian beliefs and theology. And this is pervasive throughout the media, throughout entertainment, throughout sports. I mean, look at what happens when a Christian athlete says, I give God all the glory for what we just were able to accomplish. And look how they're vilified in the media.
And think how hearing that message again and again and again, you're wrong, it's not real, God's like the Easter Bunny, it's not real, it's all made up, it's all fake, boom, 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 over and over and over and over again. I mean, just a beat down. that never ends.
And quite honestly, there is more scientific proof that there has to be a higher power and a God around than there is that there isn't. I'm not saying it proves it, but it certainly doesn't disprove it.
Yeah. And when you plug into that, you begin to feel that too. And it's just a really cool thing. And you have to take your own journey there. But if you want to know why people are lost and trying to fill up with everything from drugs to alcohol and suicidal thoughts, increase in depression, all that, that's because of faith. If you don't think your life means anything and there's no purpose for you being here, that's dreary. That's a hard way to live. Really is. Going to jump on the Angles Advantage talk line with John in Anderson talking about Bernie Sanders saying, we all have the right to vote in our democracy. We got the right to vote in that democracy, and that means even terrorists have the right to vote. By the way, it was mentioned in the Constitution 5 times. Hey, John.
Hey, Tara. How you doing?
Good.
Good, good, good. Yeah, I used to listen to you when I commuted to Charlotte years and years and years ago, and I thought, man, this chick is fantastic. So I'm so glad you're down here in the upstate.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah, I've got a good buddy of mine, a retired radio talk show host named Neil Bortz, who used to preach this constantly and for years and years and years. You don't have the constitutional right to vote. And, you know, everyone I would tell that, they look at you like a goat looking at a new gate. They're like, yeah, you do. And I'm like, find it. You don't have it. And finally, when in 2000, when Bush versus Gore was the big thing. The Supreme Court came out and actually said in their rendering that you do not have a constitutional right to vote in a federal presidential election. So anyone that that disbelieves that, that's the only place they have to go. As a matter of fact, I remember when Jesse Jackson Jr. Was in government, he actually proposed a constitutional amendment to get it on the ballot to have the right to vote. So, anyone that thinks that they can vote in a federal presidential election, they have the right to do that. They're wrong. You know, you're voting for electors. The states control those. So, sorry, you don't have the right to vote.
Yeah, and the thing with that, and you're right, absolutely right about that, John, is that Bernie Sanders, the way they're presenting it, is that you have this right to vote that is somehow being obstructed, when what they're really saying is, we want every felon to vote because that's more votes for us. And if they're terrorists, that's fine, too. Sure. And it doesn't matter who they killed, because that's just what we want to do. But that's not what the Constitution says, and it's certainly not what the Bill of Rights says.
Correct.
But it's another lie.
That's exactly right.
It's another lie.
Yeah, you're right. So anyway, glad you're down here, and thanks for doing what you do.
Oh, well, thanks for listening all those years, John. That's a long time. Certainly appreciate that. 800-347-1063. Well, I'll get to that in a minute. Let me take another phone call. Tim in Greenville. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Tara. Me and my wife are new residents here in Greenville, South Carolina. We've been here maybe about, I'd say, 3 or 4 years. When we first moved down here, my first vote ever was for Donald J. Trump for president. When we first moved down here, we were looking for true information, not fake news. We turned on the Tara Show, and we haven't turned it off.
Great.
I just wanted to say that the racism on the left is so disgusting that they have literally used it as a tool to subvert the people's attention away from actual issues. I'm hearing more and more people talk about stupid things, like Donald Trump and his Stormy Daniels situation or the whole prostitute or whatever they're talking about. But I'm not hearing us talk about the border. I'm not hearing us talk about the economic progress that we're making or that we should be making. Instead, I'm hearing stupid drivel about an issue that's almost 200 years old. Racism is not if you've listened to Larry Elder, he perfectly lays out the platform that there is so less racism in this country compared to back when that it's not even funny. Why are we even still addressing this issue of racism when I work in a workplace where there's every single race and everybody gets along? It's absolutely absurd. Instead of us talking about real issues, we're talking about stuff that has no ground on any presidential election. But this is how Democrats get elected, and it drives me insane. I don't understand how they keep getting away with rhetoric that is so distant away from real issues of today.
It's because if people knew what they really believed, they'd never get elected again. I mean, when you have Cher reacting in outrage to what Harris and Bernie Sanders said this week about, yeah, we totally should let the Boston bombers vote. I mean, this Cher is far left. I mean, they have gone so far left. And that's why they have to stick with racism and scare tactics, because if they talk about what they actually believe, and they want to avoid that at all costs, they're not going to get elected. So they need to distract. They thrive on distraction.
And it's absolutely absurd. Me and my wife went to the Republican Party because we saw the Republican Party as the party of America, to be honest with you. Since the founding of this country, we've been called a republic, not a democracy, a republic. And there is a reason for it. A democracy, it's like two wolves and a sheep. If we were in a democracy, a democratic country, then the two wolves, what are we going to have for dinner? Oh, well, there's a sheep over there. The sheep's outvoted. Now the sheep's dead. So what, are we going to kill off the progress of the country for the will of the party? That makes no sense.
But that is exactly what their goal is, Tim. It's exactly what their goal is. And all they offer is dependence. That's all they offer. And so anything that advances people economically makes them less dependent. And the Democrats are reflexively against it.
Well, that's sad. And the only thing I have to say is God bless America and God bless Donald J. Trump. And I'm looking for a Reagan victory in 2020. I'm not lying. I'm the way that the left is going, if they are not careful, Donald Trump will win 49 states, 48 states, 47. He will destroy them utterly because they have no platform. Like you said, the only thing they have is distraction. Tara, I love you. I don't want to hold your show up. Please keep doing what you're doing. I listen to you every single morning. You are a godsend. We love you and God bless.
Oh, well, thank you, Tim. And tell your wife thank you as well for listening to the show. I appreciate that.
I sure will. She's probably listening right now.
That'd be cool, wouldn't it? That'd be cool. Tim, thanks again so much for your phone call this morning. Just really appreciate you listening and all the props. It's awesome. By the way, this brings something else up. We're talking about what Tim just said, and then what the first caller just said as well earlier in this segment. I swear, if I hear another Republican say our democracy, I'm going to lose my mind. They're copying the Democrats now. And I actually got a call, the other day from a guy who's, I guess, one of the fans of the show, and he bumped into a liberal he knew at a gas station. They got into a debate that the liberal was trying to tell him that this was a democracy. And he was trying to argue that it wasn't a democracy, but he didn't really have the tools to do it. And he was asking me, now, like, how do I know? Okay. Here's how you know. Let me give this to you again, okay? Google the text of the Constitution. It's online. Go find it. Just text of the Constitution. Pull up the Constitution. Text is all over the place online. Get the full text of the Constitution. Looking at it right now. Okay. Now, use your text search feature. You know, find. You ever use that to find something in a document? Use the text search feature on the Constitution. Put the word democracy in. It's not in there. It's not in the Constitution. No democracy in the Constitution. Well, is republic in the Constitution? Yes, it is. It's right here in Section 4. The United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government and shall protect each of them from invasion. Huh. Funny. Oh, invasion. Yeah. We have a republican form of government, i.e. we are a republic. We are not a democracy. So the next time somebody calls and says, all right, wait, it's a democracy. No, it's not. No, it's not a democracy. Well, I know because I heard on CNN. No. Try that nifty little trick. Where democracy is not in the Constitution because we do not live in a democracy. We live in a republic, and thank God for that. Well, with so much to worry about, Lee, here's another thing to put on your list.
Great.
Is your dog a white supremacist? Now, be honest with yourself now. I know you love, you know, if you've got a dog out there, you love your dog. But you really need to examine your soul and his to determine if your dog is, in fact, a white supremacist. This could be.
No. I listen, I've got a golden retriever and an Australian shepherd mix. Both of them they'll bark when people approach, but their tails are wagging and they're just happy to see anybody. I mean, I've had these these dogs, when the UPS driver comes in the truck, they're ready to go off with him, okay?
Well, so. No, wait. You say that this retriever is golden, right?
Yes, right.
That sounds mighty white.
No.
What color is the UPS driver? Are you sure?
They come in various colors, but they all wear brown.
Oh. Well, this is a serious thing. Ben Faulding, who writes for the Washington Post, has declared that dogs are becoming a tool of white supremacy and gentrification. Because, you know, what isn't, right?
Yeah.
That's not just my opinion, he writes. There is research that shows how white newcomers' dog walking routes stake out territory in a neighborhood. And white owners use their pets to socialize with other white owners, excluding minorities. He tweeted. It isn't just Faulding expressing this sentiment. Elisa Sanchez-Gill, the interim executive director at Safe Spaces DC, sounds like the perfect gig for her, right? Tweeted, quote, white folks, I don't care how nice your dog is. Dogs have been used as a tool of white control, dominance, and violence from slavery through civil rights to police dogs today. I have said to friends, often half jokingly, that I love dogs but hate white people's dogs. What is happening at my alma mater, Howard, is a perfect example of why white folks believe their dogs have more humanity and deserve more comfort than black people. What?
Please submit the evidence for that.
Well, you don't ever need evidence. Okay, now, apparently, what these people do, these dog walkers, what they do is that they deliberately choose routes on which they will encounter other white people. And they will not encounter people of color. And that the dog learns from this that ergo, people who are white are preferred by the owner. And then they internalize the white supremacist beliefs.
I think you're giving dogs way too much credit here.
See, and I read this and I went, wow. Okay, because, you know, my dog passed recently, which was heartbreaking for me, and I can barely talk about it. But when I did walk my dog, do you know what determined my route?
I can't imagine.
Not the number of white people on it, but the number of places she likes to poop.
Well, there you go.
Because most of the time, Lee, I mean, depending on the season, it's either really cold, raining, or it's hot.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be out there any longer than I have to be.
Exactly.
So I'm like, wow, which route has got her sniff, sniff, sniffing more? She'll poop faster if I go this way. You know what I'm saying? So it's never once dawned on me the color makeup of the people on the route that I choose. I go for the stankiest route, so she's going to want to do her business faster. That's my strategy. Now, I didn't know other white people were doing it differently. You know? So, yeah.
We spend so much time in this country trying to find things that aren't there and then, you know, get a government grant to pay for it.
Oh, yeah. And then the Washington Post takes them seriously, which is half the problem. I mean, you can't even walk your dog without being a racist, and your dog being a racist, too. Renee in Greenville says, you have a white supremacist dog?
Yes, ma'am, I do. I have to confess.
Oh, no. How do you know?
Yeah. Well, he is a Great Pyrenees. He's purely, his coat is white. He's bigger than everybody. Now, he's a fluff. He doesn't bite anything, but he's just a big, white. I guess that qualifies him as a supremacist because he's bigger and stronger than everybody. That's it. I have a confession.
Well, Renee, what are you going to do?
I'm just going to write it out, ma'am. He's he's about 6 months old, and he's huge, and I figure about, I don't know, 10, 12 more years, I'm just going to have to bear the burden. That's what I have. I'm sorry.
Well, Renee, you can seek absolution by calling the Washington Post newsroom, and they'll tell you what to do. They know.
I'm not quite sure I have the capacity to do all that, ma'am, but I'm going to be there just waiting. If they call me, I will confess. I am sorry. The only thing with this guy is he is a Mexican Great Pyrenees, so that makes it even worse.
Well, I know. Hey, how do you know he's Mexican? Or is it because he lives with you?
I'm Mexican.
Oh, all right. I got you.
And my wife is too, and all my kids.
I see. Well, do you know for sure that he identifies as Mexican? I mean, do you feel that he does?
Well, the way I figure it out, ma'am, is that when we eat tacos and stuff, he he likes the leftovers, therefore he's Mexican.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah, see.
And his name is also, which is means a bear, so therefore, yes, ma'am, absolutely. I believe I'm right on target. I'm not trying to deceive anybody in any way, shape, or form.
Okay, well, here's what you need to do. When you take him out in public, you need to follow the Kate Smith example. Just drape him completely in a black cloth so that he cannot be seen, like her statue.
No, ma'am, I can't do that. The reason, I asked my son, takes him downtown and up to Paris Mountain. And if we do that, then we might lose him. We don't want to do that, ma'am. Plus, everybody likes him. So, I'm sorry. I just, like I said, it's just one of those things that some of us have to bear with in our lives. And I just wanted to confess publicly.
Good.
That my dog is like that. So.
Oh. Well, that's that is the first step, Renee. You know, you have to admit that you and your white supremacist dog have a problem.
Well, I just have to add here that at the Rogers household last night, we did have tacos, uh-huh. and my dogs ate the leftovers.
Oh. Perhaps your golden retriever.
Maybe he identifies as a Mexican retriever.
He could. Either that or he's culturally appropriating.
Yeah,
it's not
exactly.
clear. It's not clear.
But the thing is, they did not eat the leftover hard shell taco shells.
Hmm.
All the rest of the stuff, they ate around that and left the hard shell tacos. So I guess next time we'll have to have soft shell tacos for them.
Texter writes, this texter has the opposite problem. I'm white and I had rescued a dog that was racist. She adored black people. And every time she saw them in a car, she stared like she hoped it was her family coming for her.
Oh, gosh.
Well, you should obviously liberate her.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, boy.
I can't
what
read
is
this.
It now? Okay.
I can't.
The best stuff you can never read.
No, you can't. I wish we could publish the text line with some kind of disclaimer that we're not responsible for what's on it. Because it is so much fun. Y'all, send me something I can read. Apparently, this really is a thing. There's a lot of racist dogs out there. Texter writes, I had a Weimaraner that was straight up Nazi. Didn't like a soul, even little old ladies. UPS drivers asked if he was around years after he died. I was talking to the Washington Post writer. Just said it's this whole thing that people, that white people have white supremacist racist dogs. And that the dogs get that way because white people choose their walking routes based on where, you know, they can congregate with other white people while, of course, shutting minorities out. And so that the dogs learn that the way you should go is where there's white people. That's how they become white supremacist dogs or something. There's some study or something. Yeah. So, I mean, I was laughing at this, but maybe I laughed too soon. I mean, it's a lot of you calling me, telling me that you have white supremacist dogs. Texter writes, God bless the Mexican man with the white supremacist dog. He just gave me a much needed laugh this morning. Well, I mean, Renee was genuinely concerned. I mean, he felt terrible, but, you know, what are you going to do? Gerald in Cowpit. Hey, Gerald.
Good morning, ma'am. Ms. Terrell, now I worked with a guy back in, let me say this real slow, back in the 60s, and he had this half starved to death German Shepherd, and he borrowed a black co-worker sweaty shirt, and he would wrap that dog up in that shirt and beat him with a stick. Now, you talk about a dog ended up being racist.
And Gerald, you just is say, this a real know, story, Gerald?
I swear, and I hate that you know, I promise you. That was probably one of the worst men I've ever met in my life.
Right. So thank you for your call. That may have been an actual white supremacist dog. That's terrible, Gerald. I don't want to hear a thing like that. But I always like Gerald's call. But I don't know about that. Texter writes, this is huge. The text line has exploded. I mean, apparently this white supremacist dog thing is a big deal. What do you have something to say, Chris?
What I thought was interesting about Gerald's call is that it took beating the dog to make it racist.
Oh, I see. Good point. Texter writes, Tara, morning, Tara. It was bound to happen. Your program went to the dogs, but at least you were culturally diverse. Signed, Shalom, y'all. Shalom y'all back. Texter writes, if I live way out in the country and I just let my dogs out in the yard, we don't have paths or neighbors, does this mean I am racist toward everyone? I do not know. You will have to call the Washington Post newsroom to get confirmation. I'm not really sure. Texter writes, I caught my dog trying to burn a cross in my back. Okay. In your backyard. All right. We're done here, folks. We are done here. This is a serious show. This is the thing. Everybody's laughing, but this is actual news in the Washington Post. The same people who want you to believe that Russian collusion is still real also would like you to believe that your dog is a white supremacist.
It's a serious show with news from a serious paper.
Right? Right? Okay. Texter writes, the word democracy isn't in the Declaration of Independence or any state constitution either, by the way. That's because we are a republic. But we live in a country. What's the point the fake news has gotten to, right? I mean, we're trying to agree on whether our president is a criminal or not, right? We can't even agree on whether we live in a democracy or a republic. I mean, if you can create so much fake news that a leftist at a gas station lectures one of our listeners, I guess he was his friend or neighbor or something, bumped into him, lectures one of our listeners on how we really live in a democracy and it's true and how can he deny it? And our listener's like, no, I believe that we live in a republic and we can't even agree on what we live in. Like what style of government we're living under. How on earth can we have a debate about any topic? I mean, if they can convince people they live in a democracy when they don't. I mean, what's next? Now, this is China. Well, no, I thought it was America. No, it's China. It was America, but it's China now. Are you sure? I thought it was America. No, it's China. I mean, what's the difference? Well, you repeated enough times on CNN, the left will be telling you we live in China. It's crazy. Texter writes, my dog voted for Trump and wears a MAGA hat. Ooh, I would not take him out in public. He could be beaten. You wouldn't want a thing like that to happen to a dog. I would keep that under wraps. I would. That's not good. Texter writes, the truth, am I wrong or is it possible for convicted felons to apply for a pardon after serving their sentence for their rights to be restored? Gun ownership, voters' rights, etc. So says Haywood from Dacresville. Yes, that is decided on a state-by-state basis if the felony you committed was a state felony. So the laws differ. Well, why do the laws differ? Because there's no inherent right to vote in the Constitution. No absolute right to vote in the Constitution. It is not an absolute right at all, no matter what Bernie Sanders says. And states determine who votes. They left that to states in the Constitution. All they said in the Constitution was, oh, by the way, you can't deny somebody's right to vote because it's a she, because she's a she. And you can't deny somebody's right to vote if they used to be a slave or if they're black or on the basis of their race. But they did not say. There is no amendment that says, hey, everybody gets a right to vote, even terrorists. No, it's just that the Democrats would like terrorists to vote because they feel that the terrorists will vote for them. What does it say when a party wants terrorists to vote? That they think the terrorists would support them. That should scare you. Texter writes, into the republic for which it stands. Yeah, I know. I know. Oh, no. My dog ate my wife's pantyhose and pooped it out in the backyard. Is my dog transitioning? Oh, God. We'll have to take this up tomorrow. I can't do this anymore. Have a good rest of the day.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.